The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. You don't have to do them all at once. Just one of them works. We appreciate that. It's Gil Alexander alongside my little buddy Kelly Billen. And when I say little, he is disappearing before our very eyes, despite gaining a couple back.
Very
on
upset
vacation.
About that. Yeah, you actually made me feel better about that on the air yesterday.
Yeah, take them off.
The vacay pounds, they were added.
You were there for a long time.
And drinking a lot of frozen beverages that got a lot of sugar in them, Gil. A
lot of sugar. Well, we got a lot of sugar on this show today.
No.
I don't know what I just said right there. AJ Schultz talking NHL playoffs with us. He's the co-host of Puckcast with Statsman and AJ over there at RotoWire. He plies his trade. Country clubbing with Kelly, the Byron Nelson this week, couple weeks before the PGA Championship. Looking forward to your thoughts on that. Will Hill, all of his bets. JVT on the NBA playoffs. My God, we'll talk about this momentarily. What a couple of finishes last night that was, especially in Indiana.
I almost feel bad for the guy. I feel like every time there's some terrible Clippers loss, it's like, hey, JVT happens to be on the show.
And then there's that. The NBA hardos taking it on the chin with the Clippers at this point. JVT will be there. Jason Weingarten is coming on the show. Jason, we're going to talk Bill Belichick's girlfriend because he's obsessed with this subject, and I actually do think there's a betting tie-in. And Jason, if there's one thing he's more obsessed with than Shedeur Sanders and Bill Belichick's girlfriend, it's 100 men versus a gorilla. Jason has concocted an entire plan to defeat the gorilla.
Oh, so he's on my side.
He's on your side, and the both of you are ridiculous. And someone on Twitter said it, forgive me if I don't remember who it was, but they said, Gil, you love betting against human achievement. This is your finest moment. Oh, like, you're right. This is the ultimate.
That was a great tweet yesterday.
This is the greatest thing. And of course, I am bearing the headline. Coming up this hour, May most wins Major League Baseball, which we have done as a little cottage industry here on this show. I know others do it as well. Our history on this is a very solid one. We hit June last year on the Astros, both at 25-1 and 17-1. We came one out shy in March, April, hitting a 65-1, which is the worst gut punch loss I've ever taken at anything in my life.
Mm.
Came a game away in May last year. July, August, September, not so great last year. And then the worst call was this year for the March, April, which was the Twins. But, Kelly, I just picked the wrong market on the Mets. I did the Mets race to 10, and it looks like the Mets, well, not looks like, the Mets, for all intents and purposes, have clinched the circa March-April, where run differential is the tiebreaker. Something ridiculous would have to happen tonight for that not to manifest. And they have clinched at least a dead heat for the William Hill Caesars March-April win as well. By the way, DraftKings, like last year, begging out of anything beyond March-April.
It's kind of weird.
Is it that they don't want people having seen a month of baseball, or is it a technology shortcoming?
No, it's definitely not the second one.
I don't know if it's not definitely that. I just wonder.
Well, I guess the weirder part to me is I don't know for sure that they weren't the first ones to start this market.
I will tell you that I noticed it at Caesars William Hill first last year.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I don't know. But anyway, they did this last year.
They bowed out after the first month.
It's only going to be Circa and William Hill Caesars. Those are the only two shops. For May, we will get to it. I have my play. I will tell you why I'm playing it. But as far as the Mets Dodgers, as soon as the Mets started crushing Arizona yesterday, I spent the whole game knowing that I picked them race to 10, but not for the month. I spent the entire game jabbing my pupils with a sharp point of a pencil.
You shouldn't do that, bro.
Yeah.
If anything, use the other side.
Okay? I recovered pretty well still. Okay. NBA. Last night. This is the one series of the first round that we probably talked the least about was the Pacers and the Bucks. Though Wyatt tried to make it a thing. I kept telling Wyatt, I was like, yeah, the Pacers are just a better team. Pacers are just a better team. But, you know, he's a Bucks fan. And
I had a Pacers series bet.
Pacers end up winning this in five. They beat the Bucks by 1 point, and they beat them 119-118 last night. But if you're just looking at the final score of this, my goodness, they beat them in overtime. First of all, Milwaukee led by 4 in regulation with under a minute left. Giannis at the line on an and one. He misses that free throw. Tyrese, 2 free throws. Then after a Milwaukee miss, a dunk by Tyrese, because apparently it was just the Matador defense the entire night against Tyrese. He gets the hoop at will. Horrible last possession for Milwaukee in regulation, where Giannis has this, like, you know, baseline jumper from 15 feet out, which was ridiculous. It goes to overtime. And then Milwaukee does it again. This time they lead by 7 with 40 seconds left in overtime. There's no way you're losing this. This is going back to Milwaukee. Oh, funny thing happened on the way to the gentleman's sweep. Yeah, not so much. They're up 7 with A.J. Green having one more free throw attempt, by the way. A.J. Green, amazing that he played for the Bengals all those years and now with the Bucks.
Yeah, talented guy.
He misses the free throw. Nembhard hits a 3 to cut it to 4. Then Gary Trent Jr., who was awesome offensively in this game. Gary Trent Jr. ended up with 33 in this game. But man, oh man, what happened to him down the stretch here? He throws it away, throws it to Nembhard. Haliburton right to the rack, layup, and one hits the free throw. A.J. Green on the foul.
Oh, awful, awful turnover, but whatever, Gil. They're still in control.
Cuts it to 1. So Milwaukee is up 1, right? But, you know, at the very least, they'll get 2 free throws here, and then the Pacers will have to hit a 3 to tie, and you know how that goes. Maybe they'll foul him, so they're still in the driver's seat. But then A.J. Green throws the ball to Trent Jr., who lets it go through his legs, out of bounds, 5 hole.
What was that?
Oh, my God.
Wait, this bunch of 9-year-olds playing basketball? I mean, he Buckner'd it.
What's the Mr. Bean music that they play in the background? The Benny Hill music in the background?
Right, exactly. It was that.
It's like, and then, of course, so the Pacers have the ball with just over 10 seconds left. They're down 1. People are losing their minds because you know what's about to happen. Haliburton just goes right to the rack. Scores with just over a second left. Pacers up 1, ball game. Then Giannis like flicks it 3 feet inbounds. Desperation 90-footer misses. And the Pacers advance to take on the Cavaliers in the conference semifinals. Giannis 30-20-13 in defeat. Maybe his last game with the Bucks. Who knows? We don't know. The Bucks made 19 threes in this game and lost. 19 of 40. They outboarded the Pacers by 8. But 17 turnovers, including those last 2. This is from Automatic NBA. The Pacers trailed by 7 points with less than 40 seconds left in the game and won. NBA playoff teams in the last 20 years were previously 0-1176 when trailing by 7 or more points with 40 seconds or less remaining before tonight. 0-1176, Kelly. Well, now it's 1-1176. Unbelievable.
It's wild. There were all kinds of crazy stats about the ending of this game. Doc Rivers, this is another one I pulled in. Since 2000, NBA teams 943-19 in the playoffs with leading by 7-plus points. Under 35 seconds, Doc Rivers is 34-17 in these situations.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's responsible for 17 of the 19?
Yes, apparently.
I'd have to double check that stat. That cannot be right.
Doc's man. He's had some moments here at the end of games in his career. It is. I don't know where to start. I could talk about this game for 10 minutes. It is the fact that last, like, take away even some of the other points. The last Haliburton drive. I mean, it's Tyrese Haliburton versus Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it is clear everybody out. Giannis, defensive player of the year, 2-time defensive player of the year. I mean, squaring up against Tyrese Haliburton, and he goes right by him.
Right by him.
Right by him for an easy layup. And that is, it's tough for me to say that, Gil, after Giannis, who, yes, like, there's no secret. I love Giannis and Josh Allen above, like, anything else on this planet, so I will always defend him. The dude showed up like a gladiator last night with Damian Lillard out,
yep,
and everybody writing this team off. And all these rumors swirling of, is Giannis going to be here next year? Where's he going? Is it going to be Miami? Is it going to be Brooklyn? And that dude still showed up in a Bucks uniform and put up a 30-20-13 game and played like an absolute beast. I mean, he controlled that entire game. And yeah, they needed the points from Gary Trent Jr. and the Pacers stormed back in the second half and end the season. But man, it's tip of the cap to you, Giannis, because that was a hell of a game, and you put up a heck of a fight.
And you see Giannis had to deal with Tyrese's dad after the game?
Did
you see the inside the NBA exchange on this?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God.
But that was about his father should not be allowed at an NBA game.
No. But that was about as heated a debate as there was ever on that show. Charles and Kenny taking the side of what you just said, which is he should never be on the court after a game, let alone taunting somebody, father or not.
There's no difference between a fan. It's a fan on the court.
And Shaq ridiculously taking the other side. You should be able to deal with that. That's part of the territory. It's like it was just a ridiculous debate.
Also, what else? How better could Giannis have handled that?
Oh, he handled it fantastic.
I mean,
he just looked back. Bottom line here, we have our first conference semifinal series. And, you know, you can't bet on anything unless it's installed, Kelly. And they installed the Cleveland Cavaliers as only, I'm going to use that word, minus 450 favorite with the Pacers plus 350 coming back. Are you surprised? Is that short?
No, a little bit. I mean, we guessed this one a little bit yesterday.
We thought
it would be a little higher than this. So, look, it's going to be look at Cavs or nothing. But I understand the popularity around Indiana right now. Eastern Conference is tough to separate in your mind from what you're seeing in the West versus the East, and that the top two teams in the East, I still think, are such a notch above.
I do, too.
I think it's going to end up being the Knicks getting through, and the Knicks and Pacers are not bad teams. They are good teams, but there is still a very big separation in tiers between where they are at and where the Cavaliers and Celtics are at.
We'll get to the rest of the NBA last night with Will here on the other side. Will Hill joins us. To discuss not only the association, but everything he's betting in Major League Baseball as well today. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out the Kentucky Derby Betting Guide, Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, and Wes Reynolds' CJ Cup Preview. That's a CJ Cup Byron Nelson. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets and Player Props, Jonathan Davis's NHL Picks, and Steve Mackinnon's MLB Analytics Report. Right now, you can sign up for our summer special for only $59 for full VSiN Pro access until August 1st. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Jeremy Larson. Paul Carr is in the category of auto tail blindly, crushing it with his picks on a numbers game. He hit the Dembele goal score yesterday within 4 minutes.
Yeah, fourth minute.
Fourth minute. Or so,
it ended 1-0, right?
Did it?
I think so. Yeah. I think it was the only goal.
That was quick and easy from Paulie. Let's see. This is Ryan.
Did he kill it while I was out? Did you catch my text yesterday? There's some odd 2025 trends going on a numbers game.
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
Like Paul Carr, I think he missed one bet when you were on vacation. Like he was basically flawless except for one game. And then you said he went 3-0 over the weekend when I was out. I'm like, man, this is kind of a thing.
Paul Carr needs one of us to be gone. Ryan Tjirdzma. This is the Rockies' May schedule. I don't know who's going to win the most games in May, but I'm pretty sure I know who's going to win the least. Brutal schedule. They just need to win in any month. Forget their schedules at this point. Martel J, a lot of sugar on the show today. I didn't know Delicious was making a cameo today. Chuckism 1, I found Nuggets 45-1 to win the West before Game 5 last night. It was too good to be true. I had to take a flyer. We'll get to more of these tweets because I real quick before we get to Will, and we'll bring in Will for this, actually. Will Hill joins us now at Not The Will Hill. That's with two E's on the on Twitter. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Also part of the Chris Felica Bear Bets Empire over there at Fox Sports and star of the Megapod. How you doing, Will?
Boys, what's going on? Thanks for having me. Always good to join you guys. I'm hoping one of these weeks I can come on a Friday so I can curse like everybody else, but always good to be with you.
That's right. It's a non-cursing day. We have earmarked Wednesday as a non-cursing day.
So, I'm just upset that we don't get to see Will today. He had some microphone troubles or we had some troubles back there, and he was he's looking ready for summer, Gil. He's all swole, had the T-shirt on, looked like he'd been hitting the gym. Will's ready to show off the summer bod up there in Connecticut.
Yeah, looking swole, as the kids say. So the other three NBA games, so we talked about the just amazing finish, ridiculous finish in Indiana, as Indiana advances to take on the Cavs in the 4-1 Eastern Conference semi. But the others were Boston, gentlemen sweep against the Magic. They finished that off. So Boston is on their way to the conference semifinals as well. Pistons, as we briefly mentioned, they do stave off elimination. That was the one in the East that was a staving off of elimination. The Pistons are taking it back to Detroit game six on Thursday with a 106-103 win over the Knicks in an interesting finish where Tom Thibodeau, after injuries to both Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, didn't call timeout to get either of them back on the court.
Yeah.
And then J.B. Bickerstaff does the proper thing. He fouls up three. Way yep. to go. So it works out for the Pistons. And then the other one last night, and this is, I'll bring in Will, because Will, I'm curious your thoughts on this. The NBA hardos love the Clippers. And Kelly, you and I said, we said the whole time ago, does Nikola Jokic still play for the Nuggets? Do the Nuggets still have home court? And the Nuggets roll last night, 131-115. Game six back in Los Angeles on Thursday night as the Clippers try to stave off elimination. Will, do you have a play on any of those Thursday night games or any of the two tonight? Obviously, the two games tonight, Warriors and Rockets, Lakers and T-Wolves, as both the Lakers and Rockets down 3-1 but on their home courts tonight in game five.
Yeah, I have played in just about everything, and I am still, however many hours later, just stunned at Bucks Pacers, because I was doing VSiN Primetime with Matt Youmans, and I turned the channel. Matt Youmans was like, oh, the Pacers were the one. I said, how? How is it possible? It was, Seven was shooting a free throw with 40 seconds left, and it's coincidental that Greg Anthony was doing the game for NBA TV, because the other great Pacer comeback in history is the famous Reggie Miller, 8 points in 9 seconds. I'm not sure if you mentioned this at the beginning. And he was on the Knicks there, and he was famous for the slip that led to the Reggie steal. So with Greg Anthony involved with both of these, and Greg Anthony actually started to talk about that game, the Bucks game last night, in the past tense, like, oh, you know, Giannis in both of these wins did this, this, and this, and the game wasn't over. You don't usually hear announcers do that. Just stunning. And it looked like the Pistons were going to do the same thing. They were very close, very lucky they didn't throw that inbounds pass away. As far as tonight, I just think the Warriors, I like the Rockets. I think the Warriors might punt. We've seen them do this in the past. Last time they were up 3-1 on the road for a game five was in Memphis in 2022, and they lost by 40. Curry played 41 minutes Saturday, 39 minutes on Monday. It's an older team, one day off in between games, three games in 5 days. I just wonder if they get behind early, do they punt here? So I like Houston. It's a dangerous strategy to when you only have the one chance at home to close it out, to just treat this as a gravy game and say, you know what, we'll take care of it in game six. That only leaves you one chance to close it out in game six at home. And not that they can't win a road game seven, but I think Houston wins, and I also think the Lakers win. I think Minnesota has already been called for four fouls. The Lakers are already in the bonus, breaking news. I just think the Lakers are going to get a lot of calls tonight. And look, they have not been able to finish, so maybe you're more interested in like a first half bet, because the fourth quarter, they just run out of steam here. But game two, when they were down 1-0, they won. They won comfortably. I see a similar sort of game tonight.
Yeah, T-Wolves, I think, collectively outscoring the Lakers by over 30 points in the fourth quarter alone. Rockets favored by 4, Lakers favored by 6. Just so I'm clear, are you betting both against the spread?
Yes.
You are? Yes. Okay. Those are tonight's games. Anything, Knicks, Pistons, Thursday night, game 6, Detroit favored by 1.5, total at 212. Clip show, 6.5-point favorites against the Nuggets in game 6 back in L.A., 211.5 the total on Thursday.
I like Detroit. I think this has been a weird series, because the Knicks won game one at home, and the road teams, I think, are 4-0 since. And actually, I was on with you guys a couple weeks ago before the playoffs started. Detroit in 6, 9-1 and 12-1. Man, I feel like I should be headed back to Detroit up 3-2 with a chance to either, you know, hedge or just let it ride or whatever. They let some games get away. They almost let last night get away. But, boy, this is starting to feel eerily similar to last year if you're the Knicks, where you just run out of bodies. The injuries start to pile up. Brunson banged up. They're sort of limping to the finish line here. I think Detroit gets this one at home, and Knicks probably win in 7. But again, if you're a Knicks fan, this is probably all too familiar for you for last year. As far as the other one, I'm starting to see some 7 with Denver, LA. I'm going to take it. I said this before the series, and it looked like after three games, the Clippers were just a much better team, but I picked Denver in seven. I bet Denver in seven plus 375. I said, if you don't have trust issues with the Clippers, then I have trust issues with you, because how do you trust this team? Harden, Kawhi, the history, everything. Like, are you confident the Clippers are going to win this game six? Or are you like, I could totally see a scenario where the Nuggets go in there and just close them out. So I will take the 6.5 or seven. You know, life on the line, I think the Clippers probably win the game, but I don't trust them. And we're starting to see the old, you know, Harden in big spots. He was just a complete non-factor last night. Christian Brown shutting him down. So, I mean, the series has felt destined for seven the whole time, but I'm going to take the points with Denver here. I don't know that they're going to shoot, well, I think 17 to 33 from three last night. That was an outlier shooting performance, but it just felt like they were getting every loose ball quicker, faster. They just, I know it's a cliche to say, oh, they wanted it more, but it looked like they were a step faster than the Clippers last night.
By the way, back to Detroit and the Knicks. You first of all, you're right. Detroit almost threw the ball away late, too, as well. But you mentioned it yesterday on text. You're like, Detroit could be up 5-0 in this series. And I said, yeah, okay, easy. Maybe it's 4-1, though. But they really could have, should have, perhaps, won this series already. They were up 8 in the fourth quarter in game one. Then they gave up that 21-0 streak to the Knicks. And then, of course, the foul that wasn't in game number four. So, I mean, and you had, what, Detroit in six to begin the series?
Yeah, 9-1. Then after game one, I bet it again at 12-1.
Oh, man. Okay. By the way, Cleveland, 7.5-point favorites in game one against the Pacers on Sunday. Any thoughts on that?
No, it looks about right. I actually thought Cleveland would be a little bit higher. I'm starting to hear some sentiment from the Pacers. Oh, the Pacers could push it to seven, or maybe don't sleep on the Pacers. They could win the series. I don't really buy that. To me, this is toss up between either Cleveland in five or Cleveland in six. I don't think it's a sweep. I don't think it goes seven. I don't think Cleveland's in any real danger to lose it. So, you know, toss up between five or six, but I think Cleveland's moving on. Cleveland's really, really good.
All right, you got 30 seconds. Baseball today, have you played anything?
Over 9.5 in Yankees. Orioles giving up a million runs. Yankees swinging good bats. Carrasco's not very good, and Povich isn't either for the Orioles. And how about this? 4-1 on the field for American League MVP, Judge versus the field. Was that less than 30 seconds?
It was less than 30 seconds. I'm going to need you to fill. No, I'm kidding. 4-1 against the field. Does that exist anywhere?
Yeah, DraftKings has the field 4-1, so you get every other play in the American League.
So you're saying, so which side are you on?
I like the field.
You
it's
like the
a
field.
Long time to go.
Okay,
yeah.
The way you said it, I thought you were taking Judge.
Yeah,
okay, so 4-1, you're taking the field against his beloved Aaron Judge. All right, Will Hill, everybody. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it as always, man.
See you guys, thanks.
Will Hill, at Not The Will Hill. Once again, Should Have Bet More, the name of his podcast. Not only is he on the Megapod, but of course, with Chris Felica over there at Bear Bets, all the Bear Bets podcast at Fox Sports. We'll talk some hockey with AJ Schultz on the other side, and then Major League Baseball, most wins, month of May. I will tell you what I have bet. We have all day to bet it. But that's it. They didn't give us much more time than that. Coming up.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, Kelly, usually I read through these promos and they often don't really move me, but this one is something. This is a deal from the good folks at Circa. This summer, you can go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package, just $400 all in. Listen to this. Two-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party don't stop. Doesn't say don't stop in the promo, I just went there. All for just $400. Resort fees and taxes are included in that, so not additional. This limited time offer is valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. That is one heck of a deal.
It's an amazing deal. Go check out what Circa prices are like on weekends during the football season. And then you'll realize how great of a deal this is. I very rarely, Gil, do I grab... This is what I did when the first time I saw this. I went into our graphics of where they're stored, copied this image, and then texted it to like 8 people. And I was like, by the way, if you're thinking about coming out this summer,
sure,
like utilize this.
100%. Dr. Bob was telling me yesterday he wants to come out. I should have mentioned this to him.
Yeah.
Like, I got a deal for you. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Ian McDonald, agree with Kelly's comments about Freak's effort last night. No question about it. Also, he says, oh, this is from CRG Futures, said John Halliburton, that's Tyrese's dad, is lucky Freak showed incredible restraint and didn't knock him into next week. Totally agree. I don't know what Shaq was talking about. That was ridiculous.
I mean, and this is like, unfortunately, like until we're not going to have big changes when it comes to stuff like this until something like that happens. And there wasn't even, Giannis wasn't even.
Ah, he was great.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even over the top yelling at him, I thought. Like, sure, there was the kind of like in his face moment, but it's a fan on the court. Get off the court, bro.
And Charles,
I don't care who's dad.
Charles Barkley made the point. Imagine if some dad did that to Tyrese Halliburton after they got knocked out of a series. Tyrese's dad loses his mind.
And a couple things I can guarantee you, Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley would not have handled that nearly as well as Giannis did.
Oh, Charles would not have. Stringfellow Hawk, going to miss Jason's gorilla breakdown as my wife's giving her doctoral dissertation this morning. I'll catch it on the podcast. First of all, Stringfellow, tell your wife, break a leg, good luck to her. Also, your choice between that and the gorilla dissertation is a curious one.
Well, maybe it's a doctoral dissertation on
the gorilla.
On the gorilla.
Yeah. Shrek McPhee, seeing this quote from Dion during his draft makes the entire Shador situation much more believable. Different times, but not very different attitudes. Self-inflicted, he said. And this is the Dion quote from when he was being drafted. And I remember this draft unlike any other. He said, I was in the Giants room. This is Dion back in 1989. I was in the Giants room. They sat me down and gave me a thick book, thicker than a phone book. I said, what's this? They said, this is our test we give all the players. I said, excuse me, what pick do you have in the draft? They said, 10th pick. I said, I'll be gone before then. I ain't got time for this. And I left. And there are some reports that Shador, if you weren't picking in the top 5 to 7 picks, he wasn't interested either, and he tanked the interviews.
Yep.
And then Matt F., a gentleman sweep only occurs when it goes WWWLW. The L after up 3-0 is the gentleman part, as if you let them win one, so it wasn't a sweep. Any other 4-1 win is not a gentleman sweep. Matt, I agree with your literal interpretation of a gentleman sweep, but do you really think the Orlando Magic did not get gentlemen swept out of the Celtics series? They did not follow that format either. So I'm just saying, there should be a little leeway here.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah. One more, pardon me. Because I need this. Because I said, when you put this up, I said, this can't be real. I have to double check. Jack, the guy who tweeted that ridiculous Doc Rivers stat that Kelly gave later tweeted, I made this up because StatMuse didn't have the actual numbers. I knew that couldn't have been real. That could not have been real. Let's talk some hockey. First time ever on the show, AJ Schultz, editor. For RotoWire, co-host of the Puckcast, which he does with Statman and AJ. You can follow him on Twitter at AJSchultz24. That's S-C-H-O-L-Z. Joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, AJ?
Doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate jumping on with you this morning.
For the Vegas, well, thank you for coming. The Vegas Golden Knights fans last night had a heart attack, and then they end up winning. Minnesota looked like they had scored the go-ahead goal with just over a minute left, but by the tip of a skate, were ruled offside. What was interesting, it was the second challenge. It was the coach's challenge that did it. The initial challenge did not qualify, but the coach's challenge for offsides did. That goal gets wiped away, and Vegas ends up winning it in overtime on a Brett Howden goal. How you feeling about the Knights in this series? Can the Wild recover from something like that?
Absolutely. You know, I think they're looking good. I'd have been down on Vegas if that had gone the other way. Credit to the coaching staff there and making that call, because, you know, with the coaching challenge, if they're wrong, now you're giving the Wild a power play right at the end of the game. Like that was a ballsy move to make that call. They've won back-to-back OT games now, the Knights have, and it looks like, obviously, they'll have to go back to Minnesota. That'll be a challenging Game 6 for them. But if I'm a Knights fan, I'm feeling good, because worst case scenario, you have Game 7 back home. And I've been to a game there. That is quite the arena. That's quite the atmosphere. And, you know, I'd be feeling confident that that's our worst case scenario of having to play home in Game 7.
Yeah, that back in Minnesota again tomorrow night, where the Wild +142 to extend that series. One more from last night before we get to your thoughts on tonight's games, which is the Toronto Maple Leafs were up 3-0 in this Battle of Ontario against Ottawa. Now it's 3-2. Senators -120 in Game 6 tomorrow night as well. And the adjusted series price on this for the Sens is +334. Uh-oh. Would you consider this +334 at all?
100%. 100%. I definitely would look at that. You know, you have to imagine Ottawa. They've got the momentum. It's a real thing in hockey. They're playing back at home in game six. So then you're getting game seven toss up. And while, you know, while I was just saying Vegas has to feel great playing at home in game seven, if Toronto, the team that's dropped the first round series for the last, you know, 10 years, whatever it is, you know, has to now go to game seven after being up 3-0, that's not a confident group coming back. So I like both those prices. I like the -120. And I would seriously consider that +300-ish, whatever it was, for Ottawa as well.
That would be for a franchise that has not won a Stanley Cup since 1967. Talking about the Leafs, of course. That would be the cruelest of all exits. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. After having looked like they were just rolling here up 3-0. And that has happened a handful of times in the history of the NHL playoffs. So it is still a rare occurrence, not quite as rare as in other sports, but still a very rare occurrence to come back from a 3-0 deficit. Tonight we have a trio of games, AJ. I'm curious your thoughts on any of these, where the bets are. The Panthers look to close out the Lightning in Tampa. They're up 3-1 in the series. That game is a coin flip. Caps look to close out the Canadiens in five. Caps are a -170 favorite. And then out west, the Blues and the Jets knotted up at 2 apiece. The homestanding Jets tonight in Game 5, the President's Trophy winners. They are -172. Any thoughts on any of those?
Yeah, for Washington, I like them on the puck line. You can get around +140 on the puck line. And I think, you know, this is a good opportunity for them. One, you've got they're playing at home. You've got Alexander Ovechkin. Two of their wins in this series have come by at least a two goal margin. And you've got Montreal. They're not going to likely, it's not official yet, but likely aren't going to have starting goaltender Samuel Montembeau available. Jacob Dobbs has looked fine. But you know, he's a 23-year-old netminder going up against the Caps, who are one of the best teams in the league, in a elimination game. Like, It just feels like a little bit too much for the youngster there. So I like Washington on the puck line there to get a little bit of value. I like Ovechkin to score in this one. I think those two pair up really well. You can get Ovi anytime goal scorer about 110. Single game parlay those together would be my play on that one. And then over to in the Jets game, I'm looking at the goaltending odds prop for that one. You can get Hellebuck. I'm actually going to take him under 21.5 shots at +105. They have, when they've won their first two games, the last two have been a disaster for Winnipeg, no question about it. But the two games they won, they actually limited the shots that Hellebuck had to face. And so if they're going to go back home to Winnipeg tonight, get a win in that game, obviously the money line is giving up too much juice for me to take that one. But Hellebuck goal prop, I think, under. If they can limit the amount of shots he faced, they should come away with a victory.
All right, AJ, before you go, we don't usually ask this of guests because, you know, we do betting shows. We're often too cool for school to ask this. But what your friends would always want to know is, who do you think's in the Stanley Cup Finals at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I've been on the Jets as my Stanley Cup pick. Yes, they lost those two. I'm not going to give that one up. I still like them to make it there. And I thought this Florida-Tampa series was going to be much more of a battle, but Florida has just looked really, really good. Both those teams have two of the top three netminders, top four netminders in the league in Bobrovsky and Hellebuck. So I would go with Jets and Panthers in the final right now.
All right, mark them down. Winnipeg, Florida, Stanley Cup final. AJ, really appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, anytime.
AJ Schultz, everybody, from RotoWire, joining us. May wins, most wins, Major League Baseball, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Blaze, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. That's sharpplays.com. Check them out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Burner at Burneracci. I like that Twitter name, Burneracci. Love how the show is evolving. I don't know about you, but I definitely need more golf, more gorilla talk, more underestimating the human race, and more deep sea fishing. Wait, and Kelly has a pharmacist brother? We need a separate segment on that alone.
You want to hear the funniest story about that, actually? So I was around my brother at Christmas time. I didn't know he was a doctor.
What?
So he doesn't really talk about this, but my brother was he was sick a little bit in college while he was in college, so he missed a little bit of time. I didn't know he's a pharmacist. I didn't know he was a doctor. So I brought up how, I don't know, made fun of him basically for not being a doctor, and he was like, well, actually. It's quite an embarrassing moment.
Actually,
for me.
Producer number 9.
It was quite an embarrassing moment.
Brian M., the Circa All-In package includes a guest spot day 2 on a numbers game if Kelly's out with brown drinks your first night. And Dan Groeschel, Shaq's bit has grown tiresome to me. At halftime last night, Jokic was 3 of 9 shooting for 11 points, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds, and his team was up 8. Shaq thought Jokic wasn't playing well. I used to enjoy their show, but now it's unbearable. I still enjoy the show, but I will say this. Shaq goes to the 4 rings thing way too much. Every discussion now is 4 rings.
He's the weakest link of that show.
He is the weakest link.
They would be fine without him.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. You excited, Kelly? I'm very excited for this. You don't have to answer that.
I am. I'm sorry. I'm texting you Rob Moreno's gorilla research, which is really important. We're going to get to later.
I'm about to do May most wins in Major League Baseball, and all these guys can think about is the gorilla dissertation.
Just wanted to make sure you
coming
had
up from Jason.
Wanted to make sure you had important information ready, okay?
I appreciate that
very
much.
It's my job.
Once again, in case you missed it earlier, we did this all last year. It was the first time that books ever did this, to our knowledge, was last year. I just happened to, like, the day before the Major League Baseball season started, well, I don't have much else. There's no tennis today. Mm-hmm. Let me peruse because there's hundreds of Major League Baseball markets available, and they had the most wins. And it was amazing. Cleveland Guardians, 65-1. It came down to April 30th, and Hunter Gaddis gave up a home run to John Singleton with 2 out in the... 1 out away from winning, 65-1. Never mind. It hurts. We ended up winning in July, though, on the Astros, 25-1 and 17-1, respectively, at 2 books.
We didn't think they were going to continue. We weren't sure they were going to continue.
We weren't sure they were going to continue. Yeah. It's such a great way to talk Major League Baseball, because as opposed to dealing with a 162-game slate and you can drift off, you're always engaged with monthly bets. And there's a lot of opportunity here, I believe, from a betting perspective. So the first thing, by the way, March, April, once again, just to put this up real quick, the Mets, sadly, I bet them race to 10 and not most wins March, April. I bet the Twins. They didn't even come close. Mets, 21-9, Dodgers, 20-10 going into tonight. At Circa, the Mets have almost completely clinched. There would have to be a 26-run turn of events tonight between the two games. The Mets would have to lose, and the Dodgers would have to win by that amount for it to go a different way at Circa. So Mets are going to be the Circa champions. Could be a dead heat at William Hill Caesars, but again, one combination of the, if the Mets win or the Dodgers lose, it's the Mets outright on everything. Good on anyone who bet the Mets in March, April. And by the way, we just put up April on the top there because one of the books had just April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for May, DraftKings does not have this. This is only at Circa. This is at William Hill Caesars. Circa and William Hill Caesars, the only two shops that are doing this. Remember the rules. At William Hill Caesars, if it's a tie at the end, it's a dead heat. That's never fun for bettors because it's not just a split. There's a little more math involved, and so you just always feel lesser than. Kelly knows this from golf. In terms of like top 10s and top 5s and that kind of stuff as well. At Circa, where I prefer to do this, there is a tiebreaker involved, which is fewest losses, the first tiebreaker, and the second tiebreaker is run differential, as we just talked about with the Mets and the Dodgers in this past month. First thing you do is you just take a look at what's the total number of games being played by each club, each of Major League Baseball's 30 clubs, in any given calendar month. And so for the month of May, Kelly, we have a bunch of teams, most teams, more than half of the teams, play 28 total games in the month of May. I don't know if you know this, Kelly, 31 days in the month of May. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. Then there's 8 teams that play 27 games. You see them listed on the screen. And 3 teams that play 26 games, the Yankees, Marlins, and Padres. each play 26 games. Now, 28, 27, and 26, to be honest with you, is not much of a difference based on what we've seen in the past. There were months last year where it was like a five-game difference in terms of what teams were playing in a given month. So in May, it's only 28, 27, and 26. So your instinct will probably, your knee-jerk instinct is, well, you want to play the most games, right, because you want the most opportunities to win. But at Circa, where the tiebreaker again is fewest losses, not the worst thing in the world to play two fewer games. So I was going through this, and I'll tell you, you know, there were five teams that caught my eye, and I'll go through the four that I didn't take first. And the four that I didn't take first, just to give you an idea of some of the candidates here, the Chicago Cubs, William Hill opened this yesterday or the night before, so like 36 hours ago. They opened the Cubs at 14-1. They got bet down to plus 450. Circa opened them a little less than 24 hours ago yesterday. They opened at 4-1. They're at plus 425. So they are the short shot in both of these. These are the Circa numbers that we are showing on the screen. Cubs plus 425, the short shot. Now, I looked at the Cubs, and they do have a lot of easy opponents, right? They play the Pirates. They play the Marlins. They play the White Sox. They play the Marlins again. They play the Rockies, for goodness sakes. But I couldn't play them not only because of their short number, but some of the good teams they played are really good, right? They play the Mets three times. They play the Giants three times. They play the Reds, by the way, who have a plus 43 run differential. They play them five times. They play the Brewers. So if you do the exercise, and this is just one way to sort of quantify this, if I did the current run differential one game before the end of April, the current run differential for every single team in the Major League Baseball standings, and just added and subtracted, right, just did the aggregate of them, the Cubs end up playing a, you know, a schedule with an aggregate of minus 70 runs. Minus 70.
Okay.
That's not that great, by the way.
I was shocked at how short their odds were.
Not that great. It's way too short for the Cubs. Now, if you bet them, great. I just did. Numbers too short. Wasn't for me. The other couple I thought of, the Detroit Tigers was an interesting one for me. They went from 14-1 to 9-1 at William Hill. They went from plus 1175 the other way to plus 1225 at Circa. Those are the current prices. They play the Angels and the Rockies early, but then the rest of their schedule, there are no patsies the rest of the way. So while that was tempting, I didn't go with them. A third team that was not tempting was that was tempting, but I didn't go with the Giants. Giants from William Hill went from 20-1 to 9-1. In Circa, they've gone from 12-1 to plus 1250, so a little tick the other way. Huh. They do play the Rockies, the Athletics. Sorry, Athletics, I didn't mean to keep you in this conversation with the Marlins also. But, you know, the rest of the games they played, Cubs, Diamondbacks, Tigers, Royals, Nats, Twins. I mean, it's a pesky schedule. That wasn't good enough for me either. By the way, just to give you a contrast, I said the Mets collective aggregate run differential of opponents, minus 70. The Giants, minus 335. The Tigers, minus 510, because they play... because they don't really play great teams, but they play a schedule of mediocrity. The runner-up for me was the Philadelphia Phillies. Philadelphia Phillies, who went from 6-1 back to 11-1 at William Hill, and at Circa from 10-1 to plus 1050. So they're available at double digits. Aggregate run differential of opponents, minus 530. Phillies are, they do play the Pirates, the Rockies, and the Athletics in there, if you consider the Athletics in that group, which I'm not sure I do. But the rest of the schedule is pretty pesky. And I wouldn't hate it if you bet the Phillies, because I do think they're an underperforming team. But I'm just not prepared to just say that they'll break out of it this quickly. The team that I went with, the San Diego Padres. The San Diego Padres, who have gone from 16-1 to 14-1 at William Hill, and at Circa from 25-1, which is where I got them, to 10-1, still double digits. Look at that schedule. Three against the Pirates, three against the Rockies, three against the Angels, three against the Marlins, two more against the Pirates, plus three against Toronto. The only teams with positive run differentials they play are the Atlanta Braves at plus two, and then Seattle and the Yankees. It is the cakiest schedule you can possibly hope to have. And by the way, they got back Luis Arraez in their lineup yesterday, and Jackson Merrill Last year's Rookie of the Year, Brandon Lockridge, Jake Cronenworth, all expected to come back in early to mid-May as well. That schedule has an aggregate of minus 536 opponents' run differential when added and subtracted up. The San Diego Padres, MLB most wins in the month of May from a numbers game right here at VSiN. Coming back with gorillas and more